Turn around and tell somebody God's good.
God is good.
Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting if you look at some correlations here between, you know, like the testimonies we heard. When I was in prayer school, the interesting thing is, and this I think this is a revelation we need to, and for myself, just become more and more aware of, is as believers and spirit, especially spirit-filled believers, we don't have to change hats. It's just who we are,
yeah. You
know? Meaning, you know, Adrian, just call it the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jim Hockaday, which if you don't know who he is, you can look him up. He's on Facebook and online, but he's a minister, and did prayer school at Rhema. And, you know, a lot of the instructors, professors I had there, you know, it's who you are. I mean, it's who you are. You know, I've been places where I felt like hostility and things going on, and I just start praying and speaking the situation, and all of a sudden things become calm. Why? Because peace resides on me, because the Prince of Peace lives in me. And so wherever you go, that should permeate from you. You know, you should be able to take control of situations because of who's in you and lives in you and upon you. You know, I remember just being in New Orleans. We were, you know, doing some street evangelism and just commanding things to change. And they just changed like that. Now, I can't, you know, it's witchcraft to go in and try to manipulate people. We're not manipulating people. But people want to be set free, right? They don't want to go to the hospital and have a bunch of hospital bills, you know. People will say something like, well, you know, it's just God's will, you know, that I carry sickness. Well, why go to the doctor then?
Right.
If you're convinced it's God's will, right? Well, God, you know what? You're right. God wants you to be sick. He wants you to miss work. He wants you to have big doctor bills. He wants you to get a bankruptcy. Right? That's God's will. No, that's not God's will, is it? At all. And so, you know, we see Acts 10:38, we see, you know, all these other scriptures that, you know, he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be prosperous, like in James. He wants us to have all of these things. But it's because of who's in us. It's him that comes out, right? And what happens is this, you know, it's like a dog barks, a cat meows, or just, you know, animals react because it's their nature. If you're born again and you love God, you don't have to go, oh, what do I do now? What do I do now? You're just like, Jesus, right? It's just like, it just comes out, you know? So, you know, and you know, if you had clean underwear, it isn't now, but at least you called it on the name of Jesus, right? You have to change your pants afterwards, like me, so I'm like, oh, great. But the point is, you know, we just call on the name of Jesus, right? Because it's just something inside of us, just what we say. And so wherever we go, it should follow us. I remember just, again, Adrian and I have been in cars before where we pray, you know, and all of a sudden there's, you know, I've told us how many times, but, you know, going home one night, it was a Saturday night, and because I remember we had church the next day, and we were, you know, bottom of the hill. I worked at a cemetery right by there, and we're out of town. And going up over this, right, we're going up over this bridge, and I just started praying the Holy Ghost. And then once I got the Holy Ghost told me to slow down, so I slowed down. Behold, a drunk driver went across the road right where we were at. And again, it's who's in us comes out, right? It's just, why? Because it should just be part of who we are. You know, you don't think about things like being a father, a mother, a grandmother, a child, you know, you don't think, it's just who you are, right? And those things just come out.
Yeah.
And I'll be somewhere on here, Dad, I'll be yelling at whatever department store or something. I'm like, okay. And all, you know, all these men are going like this. Why? Because you hear it and you react, right? And the same with being born again. You just react to things because there should be a nature in you to do certain things, right? And they're just, when you're born again too, it's just certain behaviors, just they just repel you after a while, right? It doesn't mean you're condemning people, But was a translation I was reading today. I was talking about on the way to church here. It was in Ephesus, one translation. It was, don't act like the world because they're all idiots. I was like,
let me guess,
okay, that's maybe a little politically incorrect, but it was funny. I laughed. I thought it was good, but you know, yes, I am working on the redneck translation. You know, I just want one of them too. You know, Bubba and them went with Jesus, and they all said. So anyway, I'm kidding. But that just struck me funny. I'm like, okay, well, that's a interesting way of putting it. But I was reading another one too. It was like, all the people in the world, they're all fools and stupid. And I'm like, okay, that was interesting too. But the point is they do silly things, right? Because of their nature. And so when we're in our nature, you know, because of our nature, we're just going to automatically pray for people. We're going to do things, aren't we? And so again, that's just, we don't have to psychoanalyze things. And I think a lot of people know, it was interesting because, and Adrian's laughing at me about this stuff, but I'm watching, really into all these watching, because I'm really interested in other cultures, and I think it's interesting. I'm a nerd. That's my geek, one of my geek things. I got several of them, but that's one of them. But watching, like, you know, all these, like, Hebrew Jewish, you know, festivals and all these wedding things and just how they do things. You know, I'm interested in a lot of these things, and it's interesting how I'm watching these things, and they'll have like just certain, how can I say, gatherings and festivals, and it's just, for example, even Muslims and you know, they'll do certain things, and I look back and I'm thinking, it's interesting because when I see, you know, for example, like men will dance together, you know, they're all dancing, holding hands and doing things, and I'm like, there isn't a white guy that I know that would do any of this stuff, right? Hey guys, we're gonna hold hands and dance around and, you know, kick and do this. It's like, we're gonna hold hands. It's like, because, but it's in their culture. You know what I'm saying? So they don't think about these things. I look back and go, okay, right? But I can get a Holy Ghost meeting and feel like a duck in water, you know? So again, it's just, it's who you are. It's your nature. It's just what's in you. And as a born again believer, just those things in you, where when I look at those things, I'm thinking, wow, that's strange, but it's natural to them, right? And the wedding, you know, I watched some, you know, Jewish weddings and things like that, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting cultural things going on, and just how, you know, Muslims, they're dancing and just different things where, again, it's their culture. It's what's inbred in them. And so we as believers do certain things, right? Now, again, there's cultural things, but as we walk and we go places, there are certain things on us that, because of who we are and who's on us and in us as believers, we can do things. You know, we have not tapped into our authority. I'm telling you that right now. You just don't. I've had some experiences where I go back and I'm like, okay, that was weird. I've got to check this out. I'm trying to figure this out, right? I was had an experience one time where I was doing some street evangelism, and some guy was talking to me, and he just walked off, and I was like, I'm not done talking to him. I said, come back, because he left, and I said, I want him to come back in the name of Jesus. And he went rock around and came right back, and he said, I don't know why I just came back to you, but weren't we just talking? I'm like, yeah, because I need to finish some things talking to you, right? Now, I'm not going to make a doctrine of that, and I don't really know scripturally where it's at, but it just came out of me.
Right.
Well, I'm not commanding people to come to me and do things, but it's just being led by the Spirit in you. Sometimes you'll say or do things because of, again, the Holy Spirit on it in you. You'll just say things and you don't know why, and it'll just happen. Why? Because of, again, it's who's in you. Now, again, I'm not telling you to go out and command people. I'm you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. So don't go out to eat afterwards and start commanding, you know, you're going to pay for my meal, and you're going to do this. Hi there. We have an officer down here. We got some weirdos. Amen. But the point is this, that when it's just who is in you and upon you, it's going to come out. And we're going to just kind of, hopefully we'll get through it tonight. 10 reasons, again, we're still talking about praying in tongues, and there's 10 reasons why it's so important to receive this blessing and what we need to walk in. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. But it's so good to hear testimonies, about these things. And I remember Gary Crowell one time just talking about these prayers. I know I've talked about it before, but he was a dean of REMA. He's preached here a few times at the other facility. And he was a pastor in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. And it was about Christmas time. He said there was somebody in their church that had a Christmas party or a gathering at there, and they lived on the gravel road, down the road. And it was at night, and of course, gravel roads are not here in Iowa. They're not very well lit up, And they're, trucking right along. And it was dark. And there's a black Angus bull sideways, and he almost T-boned him. No pun intended. But anyway, he just said, "Jesus," right? And that thing just moved out of the way. Now, those big Angus bulls, those boys can cause some damage. So, we got some people in here that do have some cattle, and I'm just saying it's not good, right? They're tasty, but they don't, they definitely can do damage to the car, right? So, keeps the old insurance adjusters busy. But anyway, but we don't have to have a big prayer, because there's not, "Lord, I beseech thee, that thou us would move, thou us bullest from the roadeth." Right? We don't have time for that sometimes. God knows that, right? And it's okay. But sometimes it just comes out and we got to do things. And I've done that before too. I was also in a car heading to, it was wintertime. I was heading to work and I was going around, that Grimes exit there, kind of north, the northwest, when you curve around on I-80, going towards West Des Moines. And I was going over the bridge right where they build all those new bridges and all that new roadway. Well, I was going, southwest on that, going around that corner, and I hit that patch of ice, and I started doing about 3 360s and lost control. And I was like, "Jesus!" And all of a sudden, I just boop, stopped right there on the edge of the bridge. And I was like, "Hallelujah." you want to be, really, faith and power, and you ended up, you're like paste and flour out there. It's all different. But anyway, so, but again, it's who's in you. It's who we are. And Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is for everybody. Everybody who was there received this blessing. Nobody was left out. People said, "Well, it's only for, only for certain people, and it was only for this time period, and only for this, and only for that." Well, we've talked about it. Go back and listen to the messages, but I've said out of the five examples, four out of the five examples of Acts, in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit fell on people, they instantly spoke in tongues. The only one that didn't was Saul, which later became the Apostle Paul. And we see in 1 Corinthians that it says he spoke in tongues more than y'all. So we know that he did receive it. The scripture just doesn't mention that he received it instantly. But every other account, they all received it, and they all spoke right there on the spot. So it's the initial sign. It's the initial sign. That's how you know you've got it. You know you've got the proofs in the pudding when you've received that. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit living upon you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, too. I'm going to kind of run through these scriptures because we've got other things that we want to talk about next week. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, The interesting thing is, you know, sometimes we talk, like, for example, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, your pastor, you're talking about these things, but you know, the Lord told the disciples, he says, you know, when you're out, you don't have to worry about, you know, what you're going to say to people. Well, where do you think they got their script when they're out witnessing to people and doing things? It's the Holy Spirit, right? That's why it's important. Another reason is important to be tapped into the Holy Spirit is because you're going to be places where the Holy Spirit will give you things to speak out to people. And when we're in tune and praying with the Holy Spirit, that means we're tapping into Him and His power and relying Him on a source, and we're used to communing with Him. Then when we need things, then we're going to be able to pull that out of that reservoir of a relationship with Him. So again, it's something where we're investing the time to spend with Him, and it's a very powerful experience. And again, it's not something that is something where, you know, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're, oh, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got baptized 20 years ago. Okay, great. Have you been praying in the Spirit? Well, no. So then they have to get refilled. I mean, we always want to be refilled. But they have to be refilled to speak. It should be in a continuous thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's a continuous thing.
Yeah.
And so 1 Corinthians 14, 2, and it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God." So this is an utterance. I don't want to say language, but it's an utterance that is directly, it's like that red phone like the president has to, you know, whatever. It's that direct line to the president. This is a direct line to God. We speak directly to Him. I mean, He knows, we speak out mysteries, not unto men, but unto God. So people will say, well, that's speaking in tongues of the devil. I'm sorry, but it says right here, when we speak in tongues, we're speaking directly to God. And then he goes on and he says, false Paul says, "For no man understands him, howbeit in this spirit he what? He speaks mysteries." Again, they're mysteries. There are things in your life you don't know about that's going to come ahead, that's coming ahead, that need to be prayed out. And this is such a, because like I've said before, you know, in a church that I was in, we'd go up front Sunday nights, we'd pray, and, you know, have the altars, you'd get down there, you'd start praying. You know, by the time you get done praying for grandma and grandpa and Fluffy the cat and your neighbor and your friend on the playground or whoever, all the friends at school, you're done, right? Because your gray matter between your ears is only in tune to so much. You're only, again, just what you see, understand in your realm. And God is saying, oh, I can see, you see A, B, and C, but I see Z, Q, X, and R that are coming and you need to deal with. You don't see coming, right? And so, we are speaking out mysteries, things you don't know about. We have an advantage over, again, the world and the world systems because we can pray things out. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Absolutely not. But what it does mean is we can pray things out. Amen. We were in, I had spent time before I went to Africa with Vidar. We were just praying about things. And, you know, I'd have unctions where I'd pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost. And I know that, you know, before I went, I was praying, laboring for prayer when I was in Africa. Well, you know, we went to a very hostile area during that time period. And there was a lot of Muslim activity there where there was a lot of fighting and things going on. And we went in there and, you know, it's pretty creepy. Like when you go about 20 miles and there's not a car on the road, you know, everything's normal. And then there's a gate there and the guards say, do you want to hire one of us, you know, to travel with you? And we're like, we just both fell on the inside. Now we're fine. We just felt good about it. Not good like, oh, this is really comfortable, but we had peace on the inside. And so we get going, we're traveling, and you know you're in a pretty dicey spot when you're in a little cafe in the bush back there and you're eating with UN troops, right? The blue hats. So you know that there's this hostility going on, right? And, you know, they're sitting down and they got belt-fed weapons leaning up against, you know, the table next to you and all kinds of weapons. And But that's just life there. And so, but what it is you're communing with the Holy Ghost, right? And I had Muslims trying to break into my I don't want to say hotel room, whatever. It was like a little thing. They saw me going in there, and they had bars on the window, thank God. But they're trying to break in, and I just prayed and commanded them to leave, and they left. Mm-hmm. See, we have authority over things, don't we? We have to use those things, but what happens is people will get into this weird stuff, and then they don't take their authority, and the devil takes advantage of them sometimes, and then they are like, well, that was just God's will. It was just God's will. No, maybe we just need to take authority. Right? Maybe we just need to do some things in the spirit realm and pray some things out. Well, I believe that I was praying out mysteries months beforehand. I was praying and paving the way in prayer before I got there. We ran out of water, and you know, you're talking about triple degree weather. We had some tablets and things like that, but God always provided everything. I mean, we'd be somewhere and we'd have food. We'd have people that provide us things. Things are, again, we're praying things out. It's a powerful. I had no idea what was going to be on the other side in Africa. I had no idea what I was going to need, what things are going to, I had no idea to pray things out. But God does, and the Holy Spirit does. So again, when we're experiencing things, you know, people will sit back, well, I wish. No, why don't you just pray in the Spirit? Because again, God can pave the way for us before we get there. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You know, the great thing is Jesus told us about this before he left. And, you know, people always want to act weird about speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Right? And so, when I say, you know, the Father, God, or I say Jesus, nobody gets weird about those things in Christianity. When you start talking about the Holy Ghost, then it's like, you know. One guy was that I work with, and I'd prayed for him, and I witnessed to him a few years back. And he was, and I said, "Yeah, we're Pentecostal and everything." And he goes, "Oh, you guys do the speaking in tongues thing?" I said, "Yeah, and you can come see the snake cages too." Like he wasn't expecting that. He looked at me like, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, I'm serious. Okay, we don't have chandeliers, and we're not swinging from chandeliers." But anyway, I said. You know, so I had a chance to visit with him and witness to him, you know, about different things and different things. But anyway, I mean, guys, we got to have humor. I mean, you know, we got to laugh at ourselves sometimes because, you know, we got Pentecostals that are doing goofy stuff. And it's like, I mean, every denomination, every group of people, they have goofy stuff, you know. You're like, yeah, Pastor, you're the guy. We're laughing at it, so, right? But Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit before he, again, went to the cross. And we see here in John chapter 14, verse 26, and it says, but the Comforter. Well, who's the Comforter? Well, it says here, which is the Holy Ghost. So he tells us, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So we see here, that Jesus is telling us about the Comforter, isn't he? And then we see here, let's just skip back to John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may, what? Abide with you forever. Now, verse 17, he continues this. So we see here, Jesus talks about this. John chapter 14, we read here, multiple times he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So if he's talking about the Holy Spirit multiple times, then the Holy Spirit is, Holy Ghost is very important. He also brings it up, you'll see a couple chapters later in John chapter 16 as well. So we see here in John chapter 14, verse 17. So I just read 16. Let's move to the next one. It says, even the Spirit of truth. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit, isn't it? Or we can say, just say, Holy Spirit. Whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither does know him. Why don't they know him? Because they haven't received him. It says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and what shall be in you. So Jesus is talking about two different experiences, right? In and with. In and with. So Jesus is already giving us this precursor of the Holy Ghost. He says he's going to be with you, and he's going to be in you. And he's going to be a comforter. And he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. And he's going to and. He's giving us all of these things. John chapter 16, verse 7. And it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," who's that? The Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So, and then verse 13, "Howbeit when he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will" what? "Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall speak," or "whatsoever he shall hear, shall that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." It's pretty cool, huh? So Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is going to reveal things to us, right? From Jesus. He's an extension of Christ's ministry here on the earth. So tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. It reminds us of when we pray in the Spirit, it reminds us. It stirs that up. Because it's like this. I mean, we can be born again and saved, and sometimes I get busy and I'm thinking about things and I'm not conscious of Holy Spirit with me, right? Because my mind is, I'm on my natural things. I'm, you know, cutting grass, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm whatever. You know, your mind gets in, and sometimes I like to cut grass because I like to do things where I'm not have to think a lot, because then I can think about him or I can think about things. So again, we're doing things, but when we're engaged in, whether we're reading the word or we're praying in the Spirit, we're being reminded and fellowshipping with him. We're conscious of his Spirit realm and him. Romans 8:26. Love Romans chapter 8. We used to be in Demana, and when we were in Demana, we'd always read Romans chapter 8, and then we'd always read Ephesians prayers and get over into Colossians 2. It's a very powerful thing. I mean, read verse 1. I know that we're not, but this is very good. 8:1, it says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh," what? "But after the Spirit." After what? The Spirit. Let me read that again. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Those who are actively engaged and running after the Spirit realm. And then we were talking about verse 26, and it says here, "Likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities." What's that mean? Weaknesses. Our infirmities, right? "For we don't know what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself," what? "Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So what it is the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. He's going there and with us praying in tongues, he is giving us the utterance, and he is actually going in and interceding for us while we're praying. Pretty cool, huh? Verse 16, "The Spirit itself bears witness." I'm sorry, that's not where I want to go. Verse 27, excuse me. "And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So guess what? We're praying out. He's making intercession for us, which is the will of God. Oh, verse 28 is awesome. We might as well just read it. We're here. Why not, right? Let's just do this, right? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You know, the interesting thing is, this scripture, and I like the Bible's so awesome because it's scripture is placed in positions in an order of very strategically. And you know, this scripture didn't come after a tragedy. You know, people will say, well, you know, we know all things work together for the good, you know, after tragedy happens. Then there, no. What it's talking about here is the Holy Spirit interceding for us through prayer. And then the Apostle Paul is telling the Romans, is like, hey, you know what? After all this prayer and the Holy Spirit's interceding for us, guess what? We know that all of these things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So he's saying all of those people who love God are partaking in this. It's all going to work together for your good. I'm just going to kind of run through some of these here. Praying in tongues stimulates faith. We've seen Jude 20, but ye beloved, praying in yourself praying in the Spirit, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, right? And it takes, here's the whole thing. It takes, people say, well, I just want to have faith. Well, do you pray in the Spirit? Yeah. Well, it takes faith to pray in the Spirit. Hello? Because what is that? Because if we don't believe in God, then we're not going to do it. If we don't believe the Holy Spirit is with us, giving us utterance, you're not going to waste your time. See, you're already engaged in faith. People are like, well, I wish I had more faith. Well, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. My goodness, how much more faith do you need? I mean, you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're working with the Holy Ghost. He's working in and through you. speaking in tongues is a means of keeping free from worldly contamination. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Bible also talks about, you know, you can't say cursings and blessings at the same time, right? So when you're speaking in tongues, there's life coming out of your mouth. Rather than the death that's on TV and the news and all kinds of other junk, right? We don't want that in our lives. 1 Corinthians 14, 27. If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three witnesses. and then it says here, but if there be no interpreter, let them keep silence in the church and let them speak to himself and to God. So you are edifying people in the process. You are edifying one of the operations of speaking in tongues is speaking again so that other people can be blessed. One of these things is, again, you can bless other people through speaking in tongues. And then verse 2, we've read that. Praying in tongues enables us to pray for the unknown. Number 8, praying in tongues gives us spiritual refreshing. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherein that you may be caused the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So again, it's a refreshing, isn't it? It's a resting, this that Isaiah prophesied about. And then tongues is for thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Verse 14, for I will pray in an unknown tongue. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And then he discusses we can sing and pray in the Spirit as well. Right? So there's multiple functions here. And this is all in regards to our personal life with him. You know? There's so many different functions on this. And then number 10, speaking in tongues brings the tongue under subjection. How many could have your tongue under subjection? Right? Hello? I mean, so when you're praying in tongues, you're just not saying dumb things. Right? Bless you. Yeah. Right? Some of you in tongues, much speaking comes out. James 3:8. So again, if you're speaking in tongues, you can't say stupid stuff. Right? It kind of helps eliminate that. And I'm the only one that said anything stupid, so I know none of you have ever said anything stupid, right? Right? Open mouth, insert foot. So you can see that, you know, speaking in tongues is very powerful, and it's a gift from Holy Spirit to us. And it builds ourselves up, and we're doing it. We're actually engaged in faith at the time. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord Jesus. And you know, Adrian talked about being saved earlier. You know, if you've never received the blessing, actually, it's the person. It's the Holy Spirit. You're receiving the Holy Spirit, and as a result, one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. You know, it's not like I go. You know, it's just like me going to a shoe store and saying, hey, I want to buy some tongues. No, I buy shoes, and the tongues come with it, right? Brother Hagin always said, he's like, well, you don't go buy tongues, you buy shoes. And the tongues come with the shoes, right? But you're buying, you need shoes. You don't need tongues. It's just part of it. But in this case, we receive the person, the Holy Spirit, and tongues comes with it. And because of that, we're blessed, and opens up a whole other realm for us that God intended for us. You know, I really believe that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, there was something, they obviously lost something traumatic that day, you know? And they were naked, and it says they were naked and ashamed at that point. What was that? Because there was a clothing that was on them that they lost. Right? And that glory that from that was on them, and when that left, why they felt exposed, right? Because that the presence of God was gone now. And I believe again that when we're saved on the inside, but God wants us to be clothed with the Holy Spirit again. Now please wear clothes, you know, because we're not saying, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I've got the Holy Spirit on me. I'm gonna go commando like Adam and Eve. Yeah, buddy. No, not saying that. But what you're saying is there's a clothing, a presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon us again, and I believe that God wants us to have that like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. There was a presence upon them when sin entered in that left them, and I believe God wants us to be clothed and have a covering on us again. May not be exactly what like Adam and Eve, but the point is he wants us to have the Holy Spirit on us and a presence that we carry with us. And I believe just like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Amen? But now we've got it better because we know what it's like to be separated from God where they had no idea until sin came, right? We can look back and go, that's bad, where they had no point of reference at that point, did they? So they just thought, now they should have known better. But the point is this, that we can look back and say, so much better with God, and I don't want this sin and death in my life anymore. But, you know, thank God we'll be in heaven someday, those of us who are born again, and we don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. So, amen. But if you've never received baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you afterwards. Amen? Because it's a blessing. You got to have it. I know we're going long tonight, but it's so powerful. You need this for your life. Jesus, you know, one other comment. People will say something, well, I don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I don't need these things. But Jesus told us we had to. We needed to. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he's like, wait there. Don't go anywhere until you receive this. Right? And if Jesus told the disciples, don't go witness, don't go tell people about me, that must have been a big deal unless they had this. So it's very important. But amen. Father, we just thank you again that, Holy Ghost, we thank you for your ministry and your love and what you do for us. We appreciate and love you for the ministry of Jesus that you continue here on the earth. We thank you in your name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. Yeah.